Just quickly, could you give us a snapshot of how the My Health scheme plays out?
Well, it's playing out as a fairly expensive train wreck. I'm being quite serious now.
Mm.
It's modelled on a famously disastrous UK scheme. We have more than 1 million people will have access to your medical data.
Wow.
The minister has recurrently sort of come up with sort of nonsensical claims such as, well, we have military-grade security. No one's actually able to tell what he means by that. We have a history in Australia and overseas of large-scale data breaches. Basically, once your data is gone, you're not going to get it back. We don't have the so-called privacy tort in Australia, so you're not going to get meaningful compensation once it's out there. It could go globally, among other things. It's a deeply disrespectful scheme. The bureaucrats recognized that sort of many people have legitimate concerns about privacy, about commercialization of their data, and I'll talk about that in a moment, and on that basis decided, all right, we will conscript everyone, we won't give them a choice, and over time, there's been a bit of a wriggle with that, so there's been some scope for people to opt out. What we should have instead is a scheme in which people can choose on an informed basis to opt in. At the moment, the default position is everyone in unless you opt out, and you're basically about to run out of time in opting out.
It's very concerning. You mentioned before that millions of people would have access. Who specifically could have access to these records?
Well, at the moment, we have basically people in hospitals. We have doctors. We have people who assist medical practitioners. So, you know, a large number of people across the health sector. The line that's been pushed is that, all right, it's only you and your doctor. That's disingenuous. And one of the reasons that civil society organisations have been deeply unhappy about the overall process and have been deeply critical of the lack of community education that would provide a basis for informed consent here, is that the governments ignore those sorts of questions. So there will be a very large number of people with access to your information.
Mm.
And one of the reasons, say, scholars such as myself point to the UK scheme. The UK government decided that the most valuable thing these days in the digital economy is information. It's not gold, it's not coal, it's not sheep or wool or iron ore or aluminium, anything like that. It's data. And health data is potentially incredibly valuable. So in the UK, there was a grand plan to basically harvest the entire population's health records and sell them off to drug companies, insurers,
wow,
whatever. And we were told, well, it's really not a problem because the data will be de-identified. And people immediately sort of responded, well, hold on, the claims of de-identification are generally grossly overstated. So what you're told that the data can't be sort of matched to you, and in practice it's often fairly easy to match it to you.
Mm.
So there is a strong sense among specialists in Australia that this is part of the agenda, that we have a scheme that's introduced. Initially it looks sort of fairly benign. Over time, the legislation is tweaked a little bit every year, and a couple of years down the track, the data's being sold to Pfizer, to an insurance company, to whoever who will
wow,
provide the best price. So deeply concerning that way.
Yeah, and very, very concerning in that sense. So looking from a medical perspective here, how could the scheme hinder medical professionals?
Well, I think one of the concerns that a number of bodies have raised is people won't engage with the health system. Now, a fundamental of the Australian health system, fundamental, I think, of any good health system is trust.
Mm.
Will you, if you have particular health attributes, schizophrenia, possibly a heart condition, HIV, a range of things, Will you trust your GP? Will you trust the overall health system? And we're told, well, of course people will, because we have strong privacy law. And the reality is we don't have effective privacy law. We have a patchwork across Australia of often fairly weak, very inconsistent law. We're told that really you don't need to worry about your privacy, your with health data, because the National Privacy Commissioner will come to the rescue. That is, with respect, a nonsense. Given the Privacy Commissioner, under the previous Attorney General, Privacy Commissioner was to be abolished on the basis that, well, it's a bit expensive. It costs sort of $12 million a year, and we don't really need it. It was on death row for a number of years before George Brandis basically gave up. It's a body that lacks expertise, a body that's grossly underfunded, and a body that is certainly not positive, a body that, in other words, has been captured by the entities, business and government that it's supposed to regulate. So I think we have legitimate concerns about the effectiveness of protection under our privacy regime.
Mm. And from your perspective, Australians who aren't opting out, what would you like to say to them?
Well, I think it's basically watch this space. Mm. We know now, the government has sort of been a bit reluctant to sort of divulge the figures, but we know now that more than 1 million people have opted out. And many of those people, we don't have a lot of demographic information because, again, the government's being sort of fairly careful about what it divulges. But many of those people are not sort of what are sometimes dismissed as sort of, you know, moonbats, people who wear Alf Orr beanies, people who are sort of hysterical. We're talking senior lawyers, senior health administrators, doctors, mums and dads, at least. One guy that I know who drives a forklift. He's intelligent. He's very much blue collar. He's sensible. He's decided no. Basically, I think there are legitimate doubts about this scheme. On that basis, I want to opt out. Parents being unhappy about coverage of their children. So we're not talking people who are hysterical or ignorant. We're talking about a broad spread across Australia. People with quite legitimate concern, and a distressing aspect of the overall scheme is that the government simply hasn't respected that. Government's done the, well, we're the government, we're technocrats, we're rather faceless, we live in Canberra, you can't find us, we know what's best for you, we will make the decisions for you, we won't bother to communicate with you, we won't bother to educate you. And we've had, in the last month or so, the government's poured millions into basically a propaganda campaign. What we should have had was a proper public education campaign where people were given the basis for choosing, rather than just told, oh, well, it's wonderful, you can trust us, it will solve all sorts of problems, it will be cost-effective, it will allow us to deal with a range of disorders, it's all very benign, absolutely not, you know, nothing to fear. A more informed public should be in a position to make legitimate decisions. And ultimately, that's what distinguishes Australia from totalitarian states, from terrorist states such as ISIS, where people don't get a choice.
Mm. Well, it's very much a watch this space kind of story. Thank you very much for joining us on the program this morning, Bruce.